My name is Sean Jensen. I get the privilege of being a lead pastor here at Authentic Church. And we're finishing up a series called Facing Jaws. Who's had some fun during Facing Jaws? Anyone felt encouraged during Facing Jaws? If you're new here, thank you for coming. Let's give our first-time guests a hand. Thanks for coming. We make sure that this is a comfortable place for you. We like to say that if you're in the church, the people in the church should be the uncomfortable ones, and the people who aren't in the church yet should be feeling comfortable when they come in. And so we know Jesus makes us uncomfortable as leaders, but we hope if this is your first time that you come and relax. We've already heard an amazing story about a lady who came for the first time, and she felt so welcomed, and that's what our goal is here. So we've been in a series called Facing Jaws, and the main theme about this is if you've ever seen Jaws, you still to this day won't go in the ocean because of a movie made 40 years ago. They literally say that this movie has kept people out of the ocean for 40 years. That's crazy because every time you take a step, right? There's times I take a step in the lake and I'm like, somehow he got in here. Like he's got, like I can't swim in big body of waters without thinking like, is there a giant shark? And so we talked about how in defeat in our life, how defeat's like Jaws. That even though we face this giant defeat in our life, what happens is it keeps us out of what God wants us to step into. And so we live our entire life based on that defeat. And we never step into what God has for us. And I'm grateful that in my life and people's lives in here, that they didn't let defeat stop them from God's blessing. And so we're talking about how we can conquer defeat. And we're calling it Facing Jaws. And in the story, real quick. My duck, come on, anyway. Real quick. Oh, sorry, that's all I could think about was quack. Why do you think my daughter's name is Charlie? Mighty Ducks. No, it really isn't, but... We've been in this series about talking about Joshua leading the Israelites, and we see him take over Jericho. The walls fall down. God's with them. They go in, take over Jericho, but they weren't supposed to take anything from it, God said. But one man ruined it, and he hid some stuff in the camp. And the next battle that the Israelites faced, they got beat. And Joshua, we found out last week, was in so much distraught. He was saying, God, what is going on? So the first week we talked about how God's on a spare tire and we need him in our situation, right? And then this last week we talked about how Joshua had no idea there was sin in the camp. But when he got the sin to the surface and got taken care of it, then they could go back out and fight. So we talked about what's hiding under our futons. Remember that? Who was here for the futon story? If you enjoyed it, who enjoyed the futon story? Come on, I enjoyed that one. You're like, Sean, I don't know about the futon story. Roadhouse.church/messages. We got people who work hard to put those on there so you can actually listen to every week here. Now we are here. We have gotten taken care of all that stuff, and now they are stepping back out into the battlefield, and that's where we take place in Joshua 8. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. That's the army that actually defeated them in chapter 7. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that now this time you can carry off the plundered livestock for yourselves. Achan is no longer in the picture, and so I can already imagine because he took stuff from Jericho. If he would have just waited, God had a blessing for him, right? And so he says, this time you can take stuff out. Set an ambush behind the city. So Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai. He chose 30,000 of his best fighting men and sent them out at night. With these orders, listen carefully. You are to set an ambush. Everyone say ambush. Behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you be on alert. I and all those with me will advance on the city, and when the men come out against us, as they did before, we will flee from them. That little badger, he is so sneaky, right? They will pursue us until we have lured. Everyone say lured. Them away from the city. Who got some fishing out this week? Anyone go fishing this week? Oh, man, that's sad. All right, so I have neither, so I'm with you. They are running away from us as they did before. So when we flee from them, you are to rise up from ambush and take the city. The Lord your God will give it to your hand. When you have taken the city, set it on fire. Do what the Lord has commanded. See to it you have my orders. Then Joshua sent them off, and they went to the place of ambush and lay in wait between Bethel and Ai to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent that night with the people. We go on to read, if you want to read through Joshua 8, that actually they do this plan by plan, and God delivers the people, that God delivers the Ai army into the Israelites' hand. The ambush works perfectly. They come in, right? They begin to run for their life. It lures all the army out. And while they're out of the town, the other part of Israel army comes in, ambushes the town, sets it on fire, and then this army turns around and then they sandwich them and they take care of it. And the thing that struck me the most was how the prey became the predator, right? The prey became the predator. The name of this message today, if you're taking notes, is called Predator, because I am that hardcore. Predator, how we can go from being the prey to turning around now and overcoming the things that have been chasing us down. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Thank you again for this privilege to speak your word. It is truly an honor. I don't take it lightly. Help me to communicate, Father God, just the hope we have in you, that we have victory in you, and we want to see that victory displayed today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, before we go on, I want you to find one person next to you and say this, all right? No, hear me out. You just got to say this. Just say this simply, all right? You guys ready for this? Thank you. Wow. Someone bold enough that said, yeah, yeah. I want you to find someone next to you and say, it's ambush time. It's ambush time. It's ambush time. It's ambush time. I don't know if you guys ever saw this movie. There was a movie that came out a few years ago, and it was a real-life story about Bethany Hamilton. Does anyone know who Bethany Hamilton is? A couple of people know who Bethany Hamilton is. Bethany Hamilton is actually a surfer who went out and was surfing as a teenage girl, and as she was out there, she actually got attacked by a shark. The name of this movie was called Soul Surfer. Now who knows who Bethany Hamilton is? There's a lot more hands. Bethany Hamilton was someone who loved to surf, and they made a movie called Soul Surfer. You should see it. It's actually really encouraging. It's really uplifting, talking about how you can overcome the battles and the things you face. And that's all I could think about, not just because we're talking about facing Jaws, but looking at this story, I thought about Bethany Hamilton. Here's why. Because when she was out surfing one day, she was paddling out into the waves, and as she was paddling, a shark came up. I think it was a bull shark that came up and chomped at her and her board. And just one chomp, it took Bethany's arm and the board, just like that. I mean, the board literally had the imprint of the jaw of the shark. After they caught the shark, they wanted to be sure they caught the right shark, that they took the jaws of that bull shark, and they actually lined it up perfectly on Bethany's board. It was crazy. The story's nuts. I don't think they convey it as well in Soul Surfer, what they did to attack or find this actual shark, but Bethany began to go through this hard season, if you look in the movie, where she's just scared and terrified, but then she has no arm. I mean, she went through some crazy defeat. I mean, I don't know what your defeat is and what you've been through this week, or I don't know if you're on your third marriage. I don't know if you are facing some stuff with your family, or maybe you're facing some addiction yourself, or maybe you did something that was the wrong choice, and now you have the consequences of it. And I don't know what it is, but Bethany was going through a season of defeat. And throughout this movie, we see this inspiring moment, right? When she takes her board with one arm and she looks at the waves and she runs back out into the waves. Could you imagine, think about this, the emotions of that? Could you imagine being attacked and the very thing that you're getting ready to go back out to? This, with the back of your mind, is something else going to happen? That's what I'm talking about, facing your fears. And I look at the story, and I think it's the same exact thing that's happening. The Ai army defeats the Israelites. Joshua takes care of the situation. We find out why they were defeated. And now Joshua, somehow, some way, this is what I feel like sometimes as a leader, somehow, some way, he's got to get on the stage and convince people to try it again. Could you imagine that? I don't want that job. I don't want to be the person that says, hey, listen, I know that a lot of you died just a couple days ago, but we're going to try it again. You ready? A lot of you'd be like, the church would shrink by 200 people like tomorrow, right? Like you'd be like, we're out. Like we're not trying that again. And Bethany, this story of Bethany is so cool, how she conquered her fears. It makes me think of my daughter. We were at Eastland Mall, and she was playing at the playground thing there, which was a sorry excuse for a playground. Like it's those rubber things that you can crawl on. And she was on top of the ladybug, and she was jumping from the ladybug to the frog. And that was her fun. And so she kept jumping back and forth. And one of these times she went to jump, and somehow she slipped when she jumped. So when she jumped, she slipped, and she was like Superman in it, right? Like it looked like it was on purpose, but you know, and like as a parent, you're like, this isn't on purpose, right? And she's Superman in it. And the next thing I know, she lands right on the frog, boom, on her chest and her stomach, and loses her breath. All of a sudden you hear, You think it's funny. That's my daughter you're laughing at right now. I'm kidding. Who knows, like, as a parent, when your child loses, when your child can't get a breath, it freaks you out. But when it's your friend, you're like, ha, 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 ha. Do you all right? Like, right? Like, for me, I was just like, oh, my gosh. And she, I mean, I saw the whole thing. The parents looked at me. They were judging me already with their eyes. Like, what were you thinking? You should have been near her. And so she, I came and picked her up, and I sat with her, and she's just trying to get her breath. And I looked at her. I was like, you're all right? She goes, yeah, Daddy, I'm all right. And her name's Avery. She's 3. And I said, so what are you going to do? She goes, I'm going to go play over here on the slide. I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. I'm like, you go over there, and you get on that ladybug, and you do it again, right? Like, I was like this, and she looked at me like, okay, like, whatever. And so I just watch her, and sure enough, she gets up there slowly. You know what? To be honest with you, I didn't say that. That was the playground. This time, she did it by herself. Oh, yeah. She went over there and was like, I'm not going to let this thing defeat me, which makes it even better that she didn't have to have a dad to tell her. She just knew that last time I told her she could do it, she could do it. And so she stepped up, and she looked up, and all the parents looked at me like, dude, like, you're going to come get her? I'm like, no, like, I'm going to let her face her fear. Like, I'm that person. If she falls 14 more times, she's going to be okay. Like, she's living. And so she jumped. I mean, guys, this thing was this tall. Like, it's not like, he's just letting him jump off a cliff. She jumps, and sure enough, she lands on it. And right when she lands, she's like, woo! I'm like, you go, girl. You dance. You let everyone in that playground just know how awesome you are. And I'm, like, dancing with her and stuff and looking really, turning red and everything like that. And I looked at that. I was like, can you imagine the thought process? I know that's a child, but some of you are in a position that you face defeat, and you're looking at that thing, just like Bethany Hamilton and my daughter. You're looking at it, and you're not jumping. You know God says, hey, get back in the game again, but you went through such a horrible divorce, and it hurt, and it was breaking you. And you said, you know what, I went through all that. There's no way that I'm going to try loving again. Now, you might be in a season where you might be feeling some defeat of that addiction, and that thing has just got a hold of you, and you know last time you tried it, you just ended up in defeat. And I'm just going to let you know that you today would be the just like Bethany, that you would face your fears, that today as we look at this story, that we realize that just like Bethany Hamilton, you're going to get to a place where you can begin to conquer those things that conquered you. And as a church, we can't have people who let defeat get the best of them, because last time I checked, right, even though when you feel defeated, Jesus defeated the grave. He kicks Satan out of the picture. So whatever defeat you're facing right now, God is going to give you strength to get back into the water, to get back on the playground, to get back into the game. You don't have to live defeated anymore. I believe today you're going to walk out saying, no more am I going to live in defeat. Today I'm living in victory, because if Jesus set me free, then I am free indeed. Who's some free people in here today? Let's do it. Let's do it. So Joshua begins to say, he begins to set up this plan, right? And he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go, and we're going to rise up, and we're going to let the army come after us. When they do, guys, we're not going to fight them. We're going to run for them. And as we're running away, they're going to chase us, because they already beat us once. They're going to be like, ha-ha, they're running away again. And we're going to lure them out of the town. As they're coming out of the town, we're going to send in the other guys to go in and take care of the territory. Usually, you conquer the people, and then the territory. He says, we're going to conquer the territory. And then when we see the smoke rising up and the town's over, we're going to turn around, and we're going to ambush them. I love this story, because only in Scripture do you find a story so cool that you would use a defeat as a war strategy. Only in Scripture do you see God use defeated people as a war strategy for his kingdom. Only in the Bible do you see defeated fishermen and Peter, right? Peter, who denied Christ. He says, you're on this rock, I'll build my church. But you just denied him 3 times. Only in the Scripture do you see God use defeat as a war strategy against the devil. And I love that. Joshua says, this is how we're going to do it. But in order for us to understand this, guys, I want to encourage you. When you are defeated and when you feel broken, that's when the predator comes out. That's when the predator comes out. Have you noticed? Have you heard someone say, listen, if we're in the woods and a bear starts chasing us, right, I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you, right? And then we all pray for you because you are a terrible person. I just got to outrun you. Why? Because predators always go after the weakest prey. You know, the reason why the enemy comes in, he looks at defeat as an invitation to wreak havoc. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed in your broken state is when you feel like you can't shake the thoughts of the enemy in your head? Have you noticed that when you're the most broken and the most vulnerable is when he tries to come in and tell you that you're not valuable and you're worthless? Joshua said, listen, they're going to think we're prey that's hurt. And because we're hurt and defeated, it's going to lure them out. But if I could just make this another step further and say that's exactly how the enemy works in your life, that as long as we're broken and defeated and hurt, he's going to prey on us all the time. And it says this in John 10:10, the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Just like a mountain lion looks for the weakest link, same comes with a thief. There was an article that came out that I saw, actually a police officer that attends here, he shared an article, and I read about that. And they actually interviewed burglars in jail. They said, hey, we want to find out what kind of targets you target. I was like, I want to read this because I don't want to be broken into, right? So I was like, this sounds like an interesting article. They're actually interviewing burglars on why they chose the house they chose. And so they begin to interview the thieves, and there was a couple of things, but at the end of the day, first off, what I learned is own a dog, right? Own a dog, because they usually say if they see a dog, they leave, right? Like, boom. And if you're a thief in here right now, we're glad that you came. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. All right, just stop stealing. But after the interview, this was what the whole idea was. We look for the most vulnerable house. I mean, yeah, duh, Sean. We look for an unlocked window. We look for a cracked door. We look for no security systems. We stay away from the security systems. Why? Because the more vulnerable the house is, that's where I'm going to go in. And I just want to tell you today, we have got to find our strength in Jesus, because the most vulnerable we are, the enemy sees that vulnerable state as an open door for him to come in. But let me take this a step further, because if you feel defeated today, thieves only steal valuable stuff. I've never heard a thief say, I can't wait to get in that house, right, and steal that toaster. Have you seen that thing? There's 4 slots in it, and it's got 8 different things. I could tan my toast, I could brown my toast, I could dark brown my toast, or I could burn my toast. We have got to get that toaster. Forget the Xbox One, forget the flat screen TV, get me that toaster. You know what, those spoon set looks really nice too. Get me those spoons as well. No, you better believe if they're breaking into a house, they're going after something valuable, which is what I wanted to encourage you today. The only reason why the enemy is coming after you right now, the only reason the thief is coming after you right now, is because he sees something valuable. He sees something worth it. He says, if I don't get to them, God will. And they can change this generation. They can change their school. They can change their marriage. They can change their family. He sees you as valuable. The only reason Satan is attacking you is because the thief steals valuable stuff. Here's the thing I love about that. Only the enemy can get you in. Only the enemy can break into your house and get you to believe you're not valuable when he's actually there because you're valuable. I'm worthless. I have no value. Can I tell you how valuable you were? There was a man named Jesus who died on the cross. I can tell you how much something's worth by the price paid for it. Your life was paid by the price of the blood on the cross. So God knows how valuable you are, but so does Satan. So the next time the enemy becomes out to prey on you, you just remind him that even though he knows that you're valuable, remind him that your Father thinks you're valuable too, and he won't let anything come near you, because you better believe if someone breaks into my house, I don't know what will come over me, but everything will come over me. I'm going to go nuts because no one's going to get to my girls. Just know that even when the enemy comes in, there's another person in the house, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as long as he's in the picture, he's going to do some drop kicks or whatever he has to do to keep you out. But some of you don't have that security in your house. Jesus is there. He's like, listen, we're going to lure them out, but we have a plan. Everyone say ambush. Ambush. It reminds me of a story that I did. I wore this in the first, but anyone ever seen one of these before? I've never seen it in my life. This is Ghostface. Everyone say hi, Ghostface. You guys are creepy. Don't say hi to Ghostface. Like, what did I do? Did you do everything I tell you? Ghostface. When we were in high school, my sister was in junior high. It reminded me of a story of an ambush, and just thought it'd be kind of fun to share you what we did with her. My brother is 13 months older than me, but I'm way better looking than him. It doesn't matter. So, and he's a Warriors fan. So anyway, so I'm better looking to him. I'm taller than him. I'm more handsome than him. This is all jokes. And we decided one day to play a prank on my sister, who is 7 years younger than me, which I'm more handsome than her, and and we decide, we're like, you know, let's scare her, like, as all gets out, because we're brothers, right? We have to do this. Like, she is the reason why she has the anxiety she has. She's the reason why essential oils never stops flowing at her house. Like, she's the reason, or we're the reason that she's doing that. And so I was like, hey, I got a plan. Shane, I gave him this, and he had a whole on suit with it, and I had one that was, like, all blacked out, and I put that one on. And I said, what I'm going to do, Alyssa's in her room, and the door is closed, so I'm going to go outside onto her window, and I'm going to knock on the window. And as soon as she comes to see what's going on in the window, I'm going to be like, whoa! Not to really scare her, but just to get her, like, mad at me, because I know as soon as I try scaring her, she's going to be like, Mom, Dad, and she's going to go find them, right? But Mom and Dad were in on it, so I was like, thanks, Mom, Dad, I appreciate it. Mom's like, you know, my mom's like, oh, don't scare her, but deep down, she didn't reach hard enough. Like, she was like, oh, don't scare her. Go ahead, do it. No, don't scare her. Oh, don't do that. Alyssa, come here. I'm like, right? One of those things, like just like the secure, safe zone. And I was like, as soon as I scare her, she's going to run through her room and her door's closed and she's going to run out the door and go find Mom and Dad. I feel like Joshua right now. I'm just strategic. I was like, you're going to go out the door. And I was like, Shane, this is where you come in. It's like, you're going to have the mask on and the four wardrobe and don't forget the cleaver. You have to have the cleaver. I think his even had blood in it where you like sprayed something and blood's like. And I was like, and as soon as she opens the door, you're just going to like scream, right? Because she's not going to know. She thinks it's just me, but little does she know we had two costumes. My whole idea was to lure her out of the room. Shane's heart was to take her down, right? So I'm watching out the window and I just go, rawr! And sure enough, just as golden as plan goes. You just love those times when you make a plan and it's like this executes perfectly and you're like, this is the best. Like, what am I doing with my life? And then I was like, wah! And sure enough, she goes, Sean! And she turns around and she's running. I'm like, yes, yes. And she goes to open the door and all of a sudden I hear wah! A mixture of wah! And ah! And in that moment, she just literally goes, just gone, just down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we killed our sister. Like, her heart exploded, something happened, I don't know what's happening, and sure enough, she gets up, and she's like, Mom, Dad, and my dad's like, ha, 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 ha. Oh, come here, baby girl, and I thought about that, and how this ambush was going on, and how Joshua had the plan from the get-go, and I think so many times, even though we had the crazy mask on, there was a strategic plan to get Alyssa right where we needed her to get, but a lot of times, we think that the enemy is the ambush master. We think that we are in a moment of ambush, but can I tell you something? The Israelites had to be in a position of defeat for the ambush to work. I just want to tell you, the enemy doesn't have the last word. Just when you think you've been ambushed, can I encourage you that maybe God's been working behind the scenes even though you don't know it? Maybe you're in a position right now where you feel defeated, but what's really happening is God setting up an ambush for him to step in and say, hey, let me take care of this like I did last time. Let me take care of this like I did before. You see, I look at the cross. The enemy thought he beat Jesus, but that's where the ambush came in. That's when he said, no, I had to die. The crucifixion had to happen for the resurrection to happen. If I could tell you today that you may feel like you're in a position of weakness and defeated, but what if God has put you in a position to lure the enemy out so just at the right time, he can step in and show us victory? He does this so many times. He did this with the Israelites at the Red Sea. Remember, they were pinched between the Red Sea and the Egyptians, and God opens it up. They thought they were over, but God said, no, I actually am not ambushing you. I'm ambushing them, but I had to put you in a position of vulnerability. And when he opened the sea, they began to walk through, and then he closed the Red Sea. You know why God takes us, in the deep water sometimes? Because your enemy can't swim. But sometimes we have to realize that he's setting up the ambush. When we think the enemy's got us, just remember that God's always got another move. He's like that chess player that gets you to think that you're actually a good chess player, and then you make the move, and you're like, check, and he's like, checkmate, and you're like, I hate you. God's always one move ahead. He's always one move ahead. He sees where you are. He knows that the enemy is coming after you. But if you put your trust in him, he, like Lizzie said earlier, can work all things together for the good of those who love him. He's never out of the picture. He's never out of the strategy. He's always one step ahead of the enemy, and he always gets victory. He always wins. So no matter where you are right now, just say, you know what? I may feel like I'm in a moment of ambush, but Lord, I'm going to trust that somehow, some way, you're not trapping me. You're trapping the enemy, and I'm going to trust in you to take this through completion. He goes on to lure the enemy out. He lures the enemy out. And I go on, and it says, as we are running away, he said, the defeat. They'll think we're defeated, and they'll come after us. Everyone say, my weakness. My weakness. Help me out. Say, my weakness. My weakness. God's weapon. My weakness. God's weapon. In this story, we see him use their weakness of defeat as a war strategy, as a weapon. You see, I don't like admitting sometimes that I have weaknesses and flaws. I mean, the whole reason why Matt Whitman's coming in to serve as an executive pastor is because I had to admit that I couldn't do this anymore in my strength. The whole reason why he's coming in is I had to literally say, I don't have what it takes to get here, but I know that God wants to do something. I had to swallow my pride. I don't like to admit I have weaknesses, but my weaknesses are God's weapons. I love what Paul says in Corinthians. It's a really good expression. 2 Corinthians 12:8 through 10. It starts in verse 8, but what happens in context, you can leave that up there, is he complains about this thorn. It's a spiritual thorn. He's got something that's bugging him, that's bothering him, that's hurting him, and he wants to get rid of it. And he says that he begged 3 different times, I beg the Lord to take it away. We don't know what the thorn was. We don't know if it was an illness, a sickness. We don't know if it was pride. We don't know what this thing was. It was just tormenting Paul, the one who wrote half the New Testament. It was bugging him, and he cried out to God, Lord, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. How many people know that sometimes when God doesn't take something away, he wants to teach us something? He didn't take it away, but what he gave Paul was exactly what he needed. I love the times that God doesn't take something away, but teaches me why it's in my life in the first place. Instead of saying, God, why? I say, God, what are you trying to show me? He says 3 different times. Verse 9 says this. Each time he said this, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Verse 10, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My weakness, God's strength. Their defeat became their weakness, but God used it as a weapon. Let me explain this. It's good. I was watching Fate and the Furious. Don't get mad at me. I love me some Fast and the Furious. I like fast cars. I like action. Rest in peace, Paul Walker. I miss you. I cry every time. Don't judge me, all right? And we were watching Fate and the Furious, and in the beginning scene, spoiler, Vin Diesel, who's one of the main actors, is a good racer in there. Actually, they win cars and money from racing. He's the best racer in the show. Everyone knows who Vin Diesel is in there. His name's Dominic Toretto in the movie, and everyone knows who Dom is. He's the best streetcar racer ever. And so while he was in there, one of his family members in Cuba is in trouble because he didn't pay back a guy that he owed money to. And so the guy was coming to take his old, nasty, beat-up, rusty, junkin' car. I mean, it was a piece of junk, but it was a family heirloom. And Dom's like, why do you want to take that? He's like, it's a piece of junk. But he said, listen, like he said he was going to give me money, and he didn't. And Vin Diesel's character's like, well, we honor, we're loyal. And he looks at the guy that's trying to take it, and he says, listen, can we race for it? He goes, sure, we'll race for it. And so the guy that was going to take the money has this nice black, the horsepower is crazy. This car that you're like, that thing is bad. Like, that thing is awesome. And the guy looks at Vin Diesel's character and says, but you have to race with that car, which was his family member's car. It was rusted out, falling apart, looked junky. There was no paint job on it. And I love this. Like, I was praying this week. I was like, God, show me what you want to show me in this, because I know my weakness is your weapon. I said, God, show me what you want to show me. And I began to think about this. And as I was praying, I don't know if it was God's voice or Vin Diesel's voice that came over me, because they kind of sound the same, right? Like, they're like this. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's Groot. And I was like, I'm Groot. But anyways, what the thing is I heard this. Like, they came in, I was praying, and I was like, Vin Diesel? Like, and I heard this. This is what he said. He said, you race, and you have to race in that car. And Vin Diesel said, we all know it's not the car, it's the driver. And everything changed for me. Because if I look at it, that's exactly what God did with me. That's exactly what God did with you. You see, people are looking at the car and they realize in this time that they go and race, and Vin Diesel's character actually wins the race in this junky, old, torn out car. At the end of the race, it blows up and flies into the ocean anyways, so it doesn't even matter. Like, no one sees the car, but everyone runs to Dominic Toretto like, oh my gosh, you're the best driver ever. Can I tell you something? As much as I can, don't get offended. You are a rusty car. Ouch. I am a rusty car. I am the car that looks like junk. I am the thing that no one wants to race. I am the thing that everybody overlooks. But good thing it's not about the car. It's the one driving the car. God will use a piece of junk, rusted out, old bucket, and say, it's not really about the car in the first place. But listen, listen, Vin Diesel's skill came out because of how junky the car was. It's like God comes into the picture, right? And he looks at all his arsenal weapons, and there's like these weapons and these bazookas and these guns and all these crazy warfare and bombs and grenades, and he sees this nasty, rusted, dull, jagged-edged sword, and it's like, this will work. Because he knows one thing. The weaker the tool, the stronger the one wielding the tool. How will we ever know God's strength if he can't use weak individuals like us? You see, when sin came in, that displayed just how big God's grace was. He said, I will use the weak, rusted out, dull tool. Why? Because it'll just show how much power I have. That's why he says he uses the foolish to shame the wise. My weakness, God's weapon. So like, Sean, I got flaws, his weapon. Sean, I got weaknesses, his weapon. Sean, have you seen my past? His weapon. I've learned as a pastor that up here, I can talk about my strengths all day, but strengths impress people, but it's weaknesses that connect us with people. You notice that? I can come up here and tell you all about the accolades and all these things, but Paul could have told people in this scripture, I am a Pharisee of all. I've memorized the first 5 books of the Bible, because he has. I've written half the New Testament. You should see what I do. I memorized these things. You should look at me like an esteemed scholar. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, when I'm weak, he is strong. Paul found the moment to connect with the weakness. He said, if God wants to use my weakness as a weapon, then by God, if he asks me to do something, I'll step out. Because if my weakness gives glory to God, I'll keep doing it. I needed this week, guys. Because I can look around so many people and say, but look at that car. Look at that weapon. Look at that tool. And I look at myself sometimes and be like, I barely look like I just graduated high school. That's not funny, stop. I didn't have a 3.0 GPA. I had a less than 3.0. How can you use me? And God began to say, Sean, your weakness, my weapon. If we could just give our weaknesses to God, he can say, I can use you in ways like you've never been thought before. Their defeat was their weakness, but Joshua used their weakness as God's weapon and turned it onto the enemy. There's one thing I know. Every time I share my weaknesses, I'm ambushing the enemy in your life. The enemy hates it when I share my weaknesses, because that's at a moment when you connect and say, whoa, Pastor Sean actually gets upset too. Wow, Pastor Sean says those things on the golf course too. Wow, Pastor Sean actually has his weaknesses too. And you can sit and say, wow, I have found a connection, and now we've ambushed the enemy in your life to get you to think that you're not worth it, you're not valuable, that you are a weak, old, junk, rusted out car. And here's the truth, you might be, but it's the one in you who's strong. It's the one in you who makes you good. It's the one in you who's going to do a work. So just realize, you may be weak. That's God's greatest weapon, is our weakness. Worship team, you can come on up. As they go on to close on, it says that they begin to ambush them. In Joshua 8:20, as we pick off, it says, they begin to chase them down. And then the team goes into the territory of the city. And it says, the men of Ai looked back and saw the smoke of the city rising up into the sky. But they had no chance to escape in any direction. The Israelites who had been fleeing toward the wilderness had turned back against their pursuers. For when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that smoke was going up from it, they turned around and attacked the men of Ai. Everyone say, turn around. Everyone say, turn around. When they saw the smoke going up, they turned around and attacked the men of Ai. The enemy begins to chase after us in our weakness, but our weakness is God's weapon. It says that as they were running out, they saw the other Israelites run into the town and they took out the territory. They took out the Ai home. They took out the battle, where everything was, their food, everything they had. They went in and they took the territory before they even took the people. And it says that they saw the smoke rise from the town. And when they saw the smoke rise from the town, they went like this. Gotcha, suckas, right? Like, it was like perfectly planned out. And they begin to run after the enemy. And sure enough, in their weakness, after their defeat and stepping out, they sandwiched their enemy and they had victory. And they continue to move on with the blessing God has for them. Here's what I want to encourage you with today. I don't know where you are, but you've been running away from the enemy too long. I know you went through some painful defeat. I am not underestimating the defeat you went through. I know it hurts. I know you don't even want to face it again, but you're still running. I know your sin's too great, your addiction's hurting, your fear and your worry are coming in. I know you feel ashamed of yourself, even though God says, don't be ashamed of yourself, because His grace says there's now no condemnation, but you're running, and you're running. You see, the enemy thought that when Jesus died, that he won. But little did he know Jesus was setting up an ambush. Because Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins. But he had to rise from the grave to defeat death and hell and the power of that. So you're running. And just as Jesus on the third day got up from the grave, it says that all victory and power are in his hands. He conquered death and hell so we could. It says, the same spirit rose Christ from the dead lives within me. And just as Joshua looked back and saw the smoke rising from the city, he turned around. If I could just encourage you today, no matter how weak you are, how vulnerable you are, if today before you leave, you could see the smoke rising from the city. If you could realize that when Jesus got out of the grave, the smoke started rising from the city. As soon as you realize that Jesus conquered Satan and his works in the grave and he came out victorious, the smoke was in the city. And what does that mean? It means you no longer have to run from your enemy. Now you can turn around and look at it right in the eye. You see, some of you are here. Like, Sean, I don't want to turn around because I've been through that way too many times. But when you look back, and you realize that Jesus conquered the grave, it says in this world, Jesus said, you will have heart, you will have troubles, you will have trials, but take heart. I've overcome the world. What does that mean? It's time for some of you to turn around. But Sean, if I turn around, I got to fight a battle. God's with you. But Sean, if I turn around, I got to face those things that scare me. God's with you. But Sean, if I turn around, I'm going to have to see my past and my regrets and everything that put me back here before. Jesus conquered it. But my sin is so big. Jesus is bigger. My mess is so messy. Jesus is greater. If my girls find themselves in the mess, I don't wait for them to get cleaned up before I embrace them. I'll embrace them in the middle of their mess, and then I'll clean them. If you feel messy today, God's not waiting for you to clean yourself up. Only He can do that. But you gotta turn around. I don't know where you are today. But today is the day that you're going to stop running in defeat. You're going to get back on the horse. You're going to realize that God has conquered this. And it might be scary. It might be fearful. And there might be some worry in your heart. But just know that every time you turn around, you see the smoke rising from the town that said, it is done. I am victorious. So when you feel defeated, realize Jesus is victorious. When you lose the battle, realize Jesus has won the war. Because He did. So get back up. You may have lost the battle today already. He's won the war. You may have lost the battle this week. He's won the war. Get back up. Receive God's grace and turn around and go after the thing that God's asked you to go after. Even if defeat is in your rearview mirror, keep your eyes focused on Jesus. It's time to turn around. Let's close our eyes. Lord, I pray right now for anyone in here, Father, who needs to turn around, who's been running from the enemy for too long, who's had him just on their back, constantly saying they're worthless, they're not good enough. They're broken. They're hurting. Lord, our weakness is your weapon. Use it right now. Lord, if you could show us today that your strength is made perfect in our weakness, do that. If you're here today and you've been running for too long in defeat and you're ready to face those things that defeated you before, could you just lift up your hand? Not to me, just this is a sign of God. Lord, I'm here. I need help turning around. I need help turning around. I want to see the works that you did. I want to see you victorious. You died for me and you rose again for me. Lord, you see the hands, you see the hearts. I pray, Father God, Lord, for people that don't know you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, going to church does not save you. Putting your faith in Christ does. What does that mean? It means before you leave today, you say, God, I hear this message. I am a sinner and in desperate need of a Savior, and I cannot be made right unless I put my faith in Jesus. I'm tired of being defeated. I want to live in victory. You need to make that decision today between you and God. But Lord, you see all the hands that need victory in their hearts. I pray for victory this week. I pray for victory today. I pray that they would turn around, Lord, that they would see their God fighting for them, that they don't have to be shamed anymore, that they don't have to hurt anymore, that the pain may come in, but you're going to be there in the pain. You're going to be there in the storm, that today they're going to turn around and they're going to face this battle with you, not without you. And I pray for victory in their hearts, victory in their lives, victory in their families, victory in everything that they're going to face this week, Lord. Lord, we may have troubles and trials, but we'll take heart because you have overcome the world. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you receive it, give God a praise today. Go ahead and stand on up. We're going to sing this song one more time, and we're going to dismiss you guys.